Ryan Malheshram, Thursday the 16th of November, Baba Doniel Schoenfeld, cancelled flights and lost luggage.
Good morning. The Shiloh goes like this. A man lives in Eretz Yisrael, and he works for a company. The company decides to send him... I'll tell you what, we'll cut to a second. A man works for a tzedakah organization in Eretz Yisrael, and the tzedakah organization sends him on business trip to America. They order for him a connection flight, and he's going to leave in a week. He's very happy about this. He tells all his friends. And America, much cheaper in America. Let's tell him to buy something. So his friend says, you're going to America. Can you please buy for me a whole list of things. Computers, iPods, a whole list of electrical items. Whatever you manage to buy, I'll pay you back for. Here's the list. Whatever you manage. Fine. The week goes by. Goes to America. Everything goes smoothly. He does the necessary business. Buys a whole load of electrical items for his friend, and he gets back on his connection flight, and he's told it's delayed. I mean, he goes to the airport, he's told it's delayed. Okay, it's delayed, and it's delayed, and it's delayed, and he tells them, listen, I've got a connection over here. And they tell him, don't worry about it, you'll make it. Okay, so eventually he gets on his flight, and he stops off at the midpoint, and he misses his connection. He's missed it. They say, don't worry, we'll put you on another flight. The other flight doesn't happen. A day and a half later, he's back in Eretz Yisrael. Fine. His cases don't show up. So he goes to the desk. Cases, yeah, the whole flight's cases got sent by mistake to Hong Kong. And they'll be back. Don't worry. Give us 2 days. 2 days go by. He gives them a call. He says, well, listen, we retrieved most of the cases, but your case, we don't know where it is. But obviously, we'll reimburse you for what it is. He goes, how do you reimburse us? What's the reimbursement? They said, well, we have certain criteria. Tell us what was in it, and we'll let you know how much we'll give you. And for some reason, they didn't reimburse for the most expensive items in the case. They wouldn't reimburse, either because of the terms and conditions, either because they didn't want to. They went by the weight. I heard a story of a guy who had a hat in a hold, and they said, we'll pay you by weight. It weighs 1 kilo. It costs $200. They paid $25 a kilo. I don't know how the law works, but when they both came, the person who travelled, who bought the items, and the friend, they both came, they agreed there was nothing to do. We can't get any more money. What happens now? Who has to pay? That's one shaila. Does the man in Eretz Yisrael who wanted these things bought for him have to pay for them or not? Shaila number one. The other point was that the traveller was delayed for a day and a half. Now, he got compensation for that. In fact, it wasn't just him who travelled, there was a bunch of people who travelled from this organisation. And they all got compensation. And the employer said, very nice, you get compensation, but what about me? You could have done your work over here, and meanwhile I've lost a day and a half, 2 days' work from you. Why don't I get something? Does he deserve a cut of that compensation, or perhaps all of it? Those are the two shilas, okay? I'm going to deal with the second shila first. I.e. the compensation shayla, and then with the second one about the electrical items, let's see how far we go. So, to start from basics, from the beginning, we know that there's a halacha of mazik. Let me give a few other cases just to put it in context, this claim. Again, in Eretz Yisrael, a man orders a taxi, and he says, can I have a taxi? And they say, sure, taxi coming. Says, okay, when? Half an hour. It's coming in half an hour. Half an hour goes by, it's not there. He calls them up, says, don't worry, we're on our way. 5 minutes go past, I'm in a rush, I need to get there. Here's the taxi's number, here's the driver's number. Call him up. So he calls the driver up, the guy says, I'm in a bit of traffic, don't worry, I'll be there soon. He says, listen, I can call another taxi. Just tell me if you're going to be in the next 5 minutes, otherwise I've got a very important business meeting, I'm going to miss it. Be straight with me. No, en baya, miyad ani magia. I'm there straight away. And obviously, he gets another 15 minutes, goes about 20 minutes, he's there. The guy says, it's crazy this. I'm not going to manage. He goes, don't worry, come in, I'll sort it out for you. They drive to Tel Aviv, and he misses his meeting. The guy turns around to the taxi driver and says, I knew this was going to happen, right? He says, I didn't know, I really tried my hardest. Does he deserve any compensation for that? First of all, the travel fare of the taxi, and second of all, the money he would have made in the meeting. Does he deserve that? Okay. Finally, can I put one more shaila, which is along the same lines, and we'll deal with all three. One more shaila. A manager of a pension fund, and he's instructed to buy a property which is going cheap, and he fails to do so, he doesn't buy it, and the property goes to someone else. He loses opportunity, and the beneficiary, the owners of the fund say to him, what's going on? We've lost the whole potential profit. Reimburse us for that. Does he need to or not? Okay? Now all these shailas cover one general area, and therefore I'm going to start with Hilchos Mazik. Okay, Hilchos Mazik, we know that you're not allowed to be Mazik. Baba Kama is replete with cases of Hezek, people who damaged, they did bodily harm, or they damaged property, and they have to pay. By the way, it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that you have to pay, or that it's also to be Mazik. Right, so how do we know that? Maybe it's Mutter to be Mazik. So the Rishonim and the Poskim, they suggest different places where it might be learnt from. It's well known that the Tor and Rabbeinu Yonah at the beginning of Masechtas Ovos, Pirkei Ovos, he says, the reason why it's osur to damage someone is for the same reason that it's osur to steal. You mustn't steal. You mustn't take someone's money and keep it for yourself. So too, you mustn't take someone's money and chuck it down the drain. You mustn't damage their money either. Okay, you could learn it from there. The Levush says, in Chosh Mishpot Simon Shinayin Ches, he says that, no, we learn it from Baal Tashlis. Okay, we learn it from Baal Tashlis. You mustn't ruin things. There are those, however, the Imri Bina and other poskim who say we learn it from the halacha of Hashovas Aveda. You're supposed to return people's lost articles, yeah? Kal v'choymer, you mustn't damage what they own. Yeah? Or v'haftar reichot kamoicho. One of those two. Haftar reichot kamoicho, you have to be nice to your friends. Kal v'choymer, you mustn't damage their things. Now, a big nafgamina between these pshotim is someone who's not ochicho, who's not reyacho. V'haftar reichot kamoicho. Hashovas Aveda, you only chayv lo'achicho. So someone who's Ovid Avodah Zorah, or someone who is not b'chlal achicha, then those isurim wouldn't apply. There is obviously no heter to go and be mazik someone who's Ovid Avodah Zorah, because if it causes a chil Hashem, then that's much worse than the isur of mazik. That's a general rule always, that whenever there's a p'tur, and this necessarily in Chosh Mishpot, if there's going to be a big chil Hashem, there's obviously it's osur. Okay, that's mazik. That's clearly osur, and you have to pay for it. That's basic. Right, on the other extreme, there's cases where you're totally potter. It's called groma. Groma bin Nizakim, it's causative damage. You only cause the damage. Yeah, an example of in the Gemara, at the beginning of Hakonas, the sixth parak of Baba Kama, gives a whole list of examples of groma, damage which was you caused, but you're potter, you don't have to pay for it. For instance, what did you say? Yeah, exactly. You don't have to pay in Basedin for it. That's what he's pointing at. But you... One case is a person who has an animal in a field locked up in a secure enclosure and you open the gate. So now what have you done? Nothing, you haven't damaged anything. The gates are supposed to be opened and closed, right? So you actually haven't damaged anything. All you've done is open the gate. But sometime later, the cow leaves and gets lost. Says the Gemara, if the owner of the cow comes to Basin and says, my cow please, Basin won't be mechayev you. Similarly, Edim, the whole list of cases are just Edim, who don't give testimony, they know that Reuven owes Shimon £1,000. And they're the only people who know that. And if they don't come to Beis Din and say that Reuven owes Shimon £1,000, Shimon's never going to get his money. And they don't. That's called groma. They didn't do anything, they didn't damage anyone. But they caused him a loss. Now, as was pointed out, that's Potter B'day Odom. Those cases of groma. If you go to Basin, you ask a Rav, do you have to pay? You're not chayev to pay bidei odom. No one will force you to pay. But you're chayev bidei shemayim. In a Kodesh Baruch Hu's cheshbonos, it hasn't been overlooked. Fine. That's always a klal in Beis Din. That many times people have tainus Beis Din, or the dayan wasn't mechayev. That's only bidei odom. That's Beis Din shalmata. There's certain rules and the regulations that the Beis Din have to follow. That's bidei odom. That doesn't mean that the cheshbon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make an ultimate cheshbon and the right people get the right money. Okay, those are two extremes. In between those two, of mazik on the one side, which is chayv according to everyone, grom on the other side, which is potter, bidei odom, there's a case of garmi. Garmi is also causative damage, But there are cases where they're more directly connected to the damager. For instance, the Gemara talks about a case of the Gemara in Baba Kama Tzadi Tess. It's brought in Chosh Mishpat Simon Shinvov. Someone who is owed money. A lender is owed money. And the borrower comes with a coin to pay him back. So the lender looks at the coin. He's not sure about the authenticity of this thing. Goes to a banker. And he says, listen, can I pay you, or money changer, can I pay you just check if this is real or not? So the banker looks at it. And he says, yeah, it's real. So he goes, well, if it's real, I'm going to let the guy off. He's paid me back. He's paid me back the necessary money, and I'm going to let him off. The bank goes, yeah, this is real. You can let him off. Now, it turns out that this coin was actually a forgery. So he was never paid back for his loan. But due to the banker's assurance that this was authentic, he's let the man off his choiv. He's not going to get his money back anymore. He said, yeah, you don't have to pay me. He's been moichel l'choiv. Says the Gemara, that's called garmi. That's called, the banker didn't actually break anything, didn't damage anything physically, but it was a direct cause of his words that he said, yes, it's real, yes, it's authentic, that the man's now lost his choiv. It's a direct from his words.
Sorry? So
the gate in the cow, the cow didn't escape. You're right, let's say it was a circus cow, and it's trained that every time this gate opens, it runs out. Then that would be true. That would be exactly the same. You open the gate, the cow runs out. That's how the system runs. So too with this banker. The banker knew that if you say it's real, the choiv is mochel. If you say it's fake, then he'll still get his money back. The banker chose to say, okay, albeit by mistake, but he chose to say that it was real. So that you would say is a grommer, right? The Gemara says it's called garmi. Because it's connected directly, immediately, as soon as the banker says it's real, the choiv is gone. Because it's immediate, therefore he's chayv. Now the Gemara says...
Sorry, sure. In that case, surely the loiv is still chayv to pay the loan.
Why?
Because he repaid with a matbea, which is mazuyev.
Yeah.
So therefore, in fact, he never repaid him.
True, in a case where...
Can't the malva still go back to the loiv and claim the loan?
Yeah, certainly in a normal case where a loiv pays a malva a fake coin, and the malva looks at it and says, hey, this is fake, then of course he still has to pay. I wasn't going to mention this. There's an interesting taz which is brought in some iron base in Chesh Mishpat, who says that if a loiver pays back a whole wad of cash, and the mother looks at it and says, thank you, counts all the 20s, yeah, it's £1,000. Done. A week later, the mother's got his money, he looks at this looks at this wad, and he finds one of them to be a forgery.
Right.
And he goes back to the loiver and he says, one of them's a forgery, can I have another note, please? And the loiver says, as far as I know, they were all real. I have no reason to suspect they're not real. And you accepted them as a payment, right? You accepted them and you were happy at the time. And I don't know it was a forgery. He doesn't have to pay. He doesn't have to pay. So that's a halfway point. Over here, it's much better than that. Because the Taz says that it was accepted as a payment. At the time, it was accepted as a payment. And the loiver doesn't know that it was from his money. The loiver doesn't know that it was his from money. From his
money.
Oh, so here, but here it's much better. Because here he said, if you tell me it's real, I'm going to be moichel him. If you tell him, I'm going to be moichel him. That's it, it's finished. And he says, I'm being so mech on you.
It's a mechila b'toz.
Exactly, but, sorry, it's not mechila b'toz, it's a mechila on his word, and the word I got. I was moichel for what I was told. Now he's the mazik. I did what I said, I told this, and you owe me money. If he says this is real, you're off the hook. If he says it's fake, you're not. What did he say? He said it's real. So you're off the hook. That's fair enough, right? Why should that change?
The case of the Taz, why shouldn't he have to pay for it?
The case of the Taz is where the loiver is a sophic. He says, I don't know if this money was in my wad. You're telling me it was. I don't know.
If he proves
that it was. If he proves that it was definitely fake?
No, that it was in that wad.
That it was definitely in that wad, yes, he would have to pay back. Yeah, I'll just bring it as an example of times where you're not always... Here, the mechila was a full mechila. Here, the mechila, I said to him, listen, I'll be moichel you if he says it's real. I didn't depend on... I didn't say it's... I'm going to decide at all.
If it's money.
So let him pay. Our agreement was that if he says it's real, our agreement between the loiva and the malva was that if he says it's real, he's off the hook. That's the halacha. That's a gemara. That's a gemara. So the gemara says that's so long as you pay the banker for his services. He's a bocce. He knows what he's doing. He's an expert in his field. And you're paying him for his services. He's now a chroi on any mistakes he makes. If he does it for free, though, he wouldn't be a chroi. Now, in English law, that's not true. In English law, I think that if a professional gives advice over a cup of, a glass of beer, the guy just says, friend asks him, what do you think about this? And he gives some advice. And the friend relies on it. That's professional advice. Then he would be liable. But in halacha, it's not like that. If you give free advice, the person, and you're a professional, the person should know you're giving what free advice is worth. If you pay, then you should, obviously I'll look into it better, and I'll pay for it. That's how the halacha looks at things. That's the halacha. Who is? B'shoigen. Lifnei iver, I didn't do any avero. Lifnei iver is when you call someone to do an avero. Lifnei iver is when you call somebody to do an avero. Here, the bank actually made me do a mitzvah. I'm saying, I was moichel him, it's a very nice thing to do. I didn't do any avero. I was moichel him. The problem is, I've lost money. So, Mr. Banker, please pay me my money. Fine, says the Gemara, you have to pay. Okay, those are the halachas of mazik, you're always chayiv. Take a hammer, break someone's glass window, chayiv. You have groma of the cow in the field, you open the gate, potter bidei odom, chayiv bidei shamayim. Then you have this middle stage of garmi. Garmi, which is more direct. It's the banker being moichel, the choiv, since it happens immediately and it's direct, he knew that it was dependent on his word. What's going to happen? That's garmi. And yuchayv bidei odom. Okay, allow me to mention a fourth category. And that is mevatel kisoy shel chavero. It's well known, it's from, those words are Yerushalmi. They're not mentioned in the Bavli, not because I know the whole Bavli, but because that's what the Rishonim say. It's from the Yerushalmi, mevatel kisoy shel chavero. You cause opportunity loss. A person had an opportunity to make a profit, and due to your actions, you stop that profit. The case of the Yerushalmi is where you're nol chanusa shel chavero. You lock up the shop door. The shop has a shop front, has a key to open it electronically, and you change the lock, break the lock. You somehow cause it that they can't put a new lock on. They can't open their shop for days trading. So, as long as it's not guaranteed that that shop would have made a profit, for instance, a tailor, some days they do get clients, some days they may not get. Yeah. And you close down his shop. So he can come to you, hey listen, I could have made a profit over here. You should pay me. Says the Yerushalmi, it's only mevatel kisoy, you made no loss, you just stopped an opportunity from coming, because the shop was closed, so everyone saw closed today, no one's coming. That, you're potter for. Aval yeshalof taromes. You have a right to be grumpy, you have a right to complain to him. That's not right. You've caused me a loss.
That's a Velushan
Horror. For Taromes.
Taromes is a very powerful
sometimes
thing.
Absolutely. But also, people very often, I'll mention it later, a case just this week, people think they have a right to have Taromes. They think they have a right to bear a grudge on someone, unless it's justified by Halacha, then you can't say someone, oh, I'm makbid on you. If it's not justified by Halacha, it's not. So over here, the Rishami says, no, here it is justified. Rabbi Shaul Salanta takes out from these Halachas that sometimes the Gemara tells you, yeshalof taromes. You're allowed to bear a grudge against the guy. You're allowed to be upset with him. Only when it says that you're allowed to be upset. Other times you're not.
You can tell anybody.
Yeah, that's not going to Lashon Hara, the complicated laws of Lashon Hara. But the taromes, you're allowed to have taromes on this person who caused you opportunity loss. According to these rules, tell me what you'd say in this case. The Gemara mentions in Baba Kama Sima Daf Ayin Gimel, Reuven knows of cheap wine being sold in a place, Zulshpat. No. Zulshpat, it's known as Zulshpat. Cheap wine being sold. Now he tells his friends, are you able to travel to Zulshpat? Zulshpat, I'm going there anyway. Sure, here's £1,000. Can you go and buy me as much wine as you can, bring it back, and I'll sell it here, because everywhere else it's very expensive. It's only there that it's cheap. Friend says, sure, I'm going there anyway, no problem. Now, that this market where it's sold for cheap lasts for a certain amount of time. Okay, the friend goes or doesn't go, but he doesn't buy the wine. And he gives the sender the money back. Here's your £1,000, I'm sorry I didn't buy it. He looks at him and says, you didn't buy it? If you wouldn't have bought it, I would have gone. Had you not guaranteed me that you would have bought it for me, I would have gone and bought it. I would have bought that wine for cheap, brought it here, and sold it for a profit. Now that you haven't bought it, I've lost that opportunity. I can't make that profit. Chaiwa Potter. It's very similar to Yerushalmi's case, isn't it? It's Mevatel Kisa Shechaveroi. Very nice, you could have. You had an opportunity to make a profit. But, sorry, not this time. However, the Gemara, the Bavli says, that you're chayev.
Why?
He's chayev, why? It's exactly the question. All the Rishonim are troubled by that question. There are two main mahalchim in the Rishonim. The Rosh says that when I give you money, and I say to you, please go and buy me that wine, and you guarantee, yeah, sure. And you know why I've told you to buy it. Because it's cheap over there, and it's expensive here. What you're telling me is, you're saying, don't worry about it. You'll be okay. I'll do it for you. Sure, I'll go and get it. You'll be okay. You'll get your wine. That's as if you make a tanai, says the Rosh. It's as if you made an explicit condition that if I don't do it for you, I'll cover the losses. Okay, well, we know if you make an explicit tanai, kol tanai sheba momon, anytime you make a monetary condition, that works. Because money's up to us. It's nothing to do with it. The Torah doesn't restrict us how we make our tanai. You make it tanai, it works. It says, if you made it tanai, that I'll pay you for any possible losses. That's how the Rosh explains the Gemara of Zulshpat. One pshat. Other Rishonim don't like this idea of ki'ilu a tanai, as if you made it tanai. Nothing was spoken between them to say that I'll be chayav. So says the Ritva that the reason is not because you made it tanai. The reason is because there's halachas of being a guarantor. There's halachas of oriv, being an oriv. How does an oriv work? A lender wants to lend money to someone who needs it. So the lender on this side of the room and the borrower come together and the borrower says, can you lend me money? The lender says, I'd love to lend you money, but how are you going to pay me back? And the guy says, not too sure. So he says, I'll tell you what, bring me a guarantor and someone I can trust and then I'll lend you the money. So someone on this side of the room says, sure, no problem, I'll be the guarantor. Great, so the lender lends me the money, and I blow it, I don't have any money. He goes to the guarantor and he says, pay up. The halacha is he has to pay, right?
Sure.
Why? There was no kinyan made. How does that work? The guy just said, I'll pay you back. Great, okay, you said, now you change your mind. In halacha, you need kinyan to buy something, to be mechayv yourself, to make any sort of hischayvus, any type of liability has to be done with an action, has to have a signature on a shtar, perhaps. Or that might work. A kinyan, that would work. But here, he just guaranteed, he just said, why is he chayav? So the Ritva explains, sorry? He would get a mishapara, but he can still say, fine, I'm happy to get a mishapara. Mishapara just means that you get some sort of klola. Okay, but he can still back out. He's not allowed to, but he could, right? But aloha is he can't. Mishapara, you could back out, you're not supposed to, but you could. Here, Arif can't back out. Question is why? Says the Ritva. The reason is because when he said, that the lender over here said, yes, I'll guarantee the loan, and the lender on this side of the room says, oh, I trust him to guarantee it, the orev, the guarantor, gets a certain amount of satisfaction from that. He receives some sort of hanor, and that hanor is worth money. So it's as if the lender has given him something, says the Ritva. He's given him some sort of satisfaction which is worth money. And that can constitute a kinyan. That can be, I've given you something, I've given you some sort of satisfaction, some sort of hanor, and because the lender's given the borrower some sort of hanor, sorry, the lender's given the guarantor, the ori, some sort of hanor, the ori in return is mechayev himself to pay the money that he's promised. That's how the kinyan works of every guarantor.
I would think a guarantor, somebody wouldn't sleep in the night because of the shuri ha'ivin.
So it's not such a hanor, you say. Not such a hanor. Yeah, so we're not talking about, you're right. It's not so, when you actually have to pay out, it's not such a big hanor. But the time when you guarantee it and the guy says, him? Yeah. Then it is hanor. That hanor, that moment where you're trusted for being a that's what the Gemara says, that there's a satisfaction there. And that's why it can work as a kinyan. Okay, so now our friend in Zulshpat, he took the money from his friend. £1,000. He says, I'm going to buy you the wine. His friend trusted him with £1,000 to go and buy this wine. That's also some sort of satisfaction. He didn't just trust him to pay it back. He trusted him to give him the actual money. That's also satisfaction, says the Ritva. You're no worse than a guarantor. When you take that money from the Reuven, who wants to go and buy the wine, you take the money and say, yeah, I'll go and get it. You've got some sort of hanor. And that hanor is mechay of you that any losses that will come, like a guarantor, I guarantee you that the money that can be made, I guarantee for you. That's how the Ritva looks at it. Okay, two ways of looking at Zulshbat, that case of the opportunity loss, and that's why it's not the same as a regular case of Mavatal Kisa, where you just lock up someone's shop. When you lock up someone's shop, there was no tanai being made between the shopkeeper and the person who locked it up to say that there's ischayvus, and there was no hanor given. So there's no oriv. That's why a person who locks up someone's shop is potter. Because even though there was opportunity loss, he doesn't have to pay for that. While the person who accepts the money and says, yeah, I'll get it for you, he either is considered to have made a condition that he'll pay for the losses, according to the Rosh, or he's considered to be a guarantor due to the hanor that he received at the time of accepting the money. Great. Now let's go back to our cases of, let's work backwards. The manager, do you mind if I go backwards? Let's go the other way. The manager of the pension fund, who was supposed to buy a house, and he didn't, right? So, what happened really, was he said, yeah, pay me the fees, and I'll buy you the house. And he didn't buy the house, right? He didn't buy the house, and therefore there was a loss. Is that the same as Mevatel Kisoy, someone who locks up someone's shop? Or is that the same as Zulshvat, where there's some sort of contractual agreement, there's some sort of relationship between the two, where we can say there was a Tanai made, or an Oriv made? So now, if you pick this manager, because he's good at his job, and he knows you picked him because you like him, so you got Hanor, right? So you can be an Oriv. He could be saying like this, I'll buy you the house, pay me the fees, I get Hanor for that. I've got Hanor for you choosing me, picking me to be your manager. I'll buy you the house. And if I don't buy you the house, I'll be chayev, medin oriv. Just like the person who was supposed to go and buy the wine and didn't buy the wine, it's chayev medin oriv, according to the Ritva. And therefore, he would be chayev. If that's true, that he gets hanor. If you can consider choosing the manager the same as giving £1,000 to your friend to buy wine. Possibly. However, there's a much more basic reason why he's chayev. And that is, there's one big klal in Hilchos Schiris Poilim. Perhaps the biggest rule in all employment, halacha of all employment cases, and that is hakol k'minig hamadina. Everything goes according to the minig. If there's a minig, it's considered as if you've made an agreement between you and the worker that we're going to go according to the minig of the medina. We're going to go according to the minig of the place. Now, a solicitor or a manager or people who are professional, they're instructed to do a certain action and they don't, are legally chayv to pay for that. Normally they have insurance. But if they wouldn't have insurance, they would be legally chayv to pay for that. Therefore, it's understood when I say to my manager, buy me that house, I'm doing it api minig hamadina, I'm doing it api dinah de machusa. Not because dinah de machusa is the one governing, but because we agree between us that we're going to do what's normal over here. When I hire you to be my manager, I hire you according to how everyone hires their managers. And therefore you'll be chayv to pay like every manager is chayv to pay for ruining. It'll be as if I made it tonight. It's not as if I made it tonight. I did make it tonight. When I rent you, it's k'minig hamadina. We do according to the minig of how people do. I'm telling you, you're going to be chayv like everyone's chayv, and you're going to be potter like anyone's potter. That's how it's going to work. That's in that case, he would be chayv. Next case, the taxi. The taxi is far less. In the taxi, you call up a taxi company, and they send a taxi. And the taxi says, yeah, I'm coming. You say, I've got a business deal. If you're not going to come on time, I'm going to miss it. The guy says, don't worry. You get in a taxi, go and you miss your business deal. The taxi there is not an Oriv. The taxi driver didn't get any particular Hanor from you. And is there a Tanaida? Is there any sort of law or self-understood Tanaida that you'll pay me for not making the money? There wouldn't be. So you wouldn't be chayv in the case. There are other points there, but just on this point that we're discussing, for this reason, he wouldn't be chayv. He said I can take another taxi. So it's really this driver's fault that I didn't make that money.
Yeah. But if he takes another taxi, the first taxi will come and complain.
Why didn't you pay? Yeah, that's true. just to go back to the aeroplane case, where there's compensation being given. So the employer says, I want money for the hours that you didn't work for me. Right? I want to cut in that compensation. Now, would they be entitled to that? When their employer buys the tickets from the airline, he says to them, I want tickets and I want to get there on time, right? And the airline says, yeah, you'll get there on time. And they get you late and they make you miss your connection. And because of that, you can't do any work. The airline, you've gone into a contractual agreement with them. And you've told them, I want to be there on time. And they guarantee you to be there on time. What happens when you miss that time? You miss that work. Do you have to be paid for that work? Or not? So we said, Hakol Kaminig Amadina. There's halacha that you go, however these things are normally done, right? What's the law? So that I'm sure many people know from these things happening to everyone the whole time. There's laws about this. You have to be paid, right? For lost baggage and compensation, there's laws how much has to be paid and when it has to be paid. Do the employers of the people travelling, they never travelled, the employers, do they deserve compensation? So that's not mentioned. In the Montreal Convention, where these laws were set up, it's not mentioned. But I spoke to a judge about this, and he referred me to a certain law of the EU. It's the Court of Justice of the European Union, where Air Baltic were taken to a case by the special services of the Republic of Lithuania for this case. They sent their agents on the aeroplane, and they missed days of work, and they want compensation. In 2016, the court ruled they deserve compensation. How much do they deserve? They said they should split up the payment that normally goes to the passengers between the passengers and the employers. They don't get extra on top of what the limit was. The airline has to pay, let's say, €600 or $1,000 for the compensation. That $1,000 should be split up between the passenger and the employer. However, it says that's only if the employer claims and says to the airline, I lost work, I want money from you. Then the airline has to give it to him. But if the airline comes and gives the passenger the money, then the passenger keeps the money. He doesn't have to pay his employer that money. The employer can go to the airline and get it, but the passenger who's got the money has no reason to pay his employer. Okay? The shy that came up Ben Azmanim was, that's all very good with employer and employee relationship. What happens when parents bring back their children for Ben Azmanim? And they say, hey, we lost a day of having our children here. We want compensation. Would they be entitled to it?
Not often.
So there was no loss over there, right? There's no monetary loss. So they wouldn't be entitled. Now, the second half of the shayla about all the electronics, we're going to have to leave for another time. Sure.